Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, folks. It's just me, Jeremy, chiming in here to let you know that we had a little tropical storm over here in Halifax. It was supposed to be a hurricane, Mr. Teddy, but it turned out to just kind of dissipate into a bit of a nasty storm. It's quite nice, actually. I really love extreme weather. And there's always something quite calming about it for myself. And I spent a little bit of time last night while the storm was here. There was like a calm within the storm and sat outside and the lighting was beautiful and the sound of the wind going through the trees was all quite nice. Anyway, the reason it's just me right now is because that storm kind of put a bit of a damper on Bridie and I's plans to record our foreplay segment for you. We were supposed to do it yesterday. Bridie's on PEI, as all of you, most of you know. There was weather shit. We couldn't make it happen. She couldn't get away from the cottage to find a place to record. So it's just me to chime in and let you know that this week there will be no foreplay. It'll just be me throwing you right into the deep end, into our conversation with Devin Black. And Devin sat down to talk to us about what we all need and should know and should care about accessible contraception for people with or without a uterus. And Devin, you know, she dives into her connection to the cause through the lens of gender equality. So I think this was a really great episode. but I'm going to be completely honest with you. The night before we went to record this episode, and we were recording quite early, I had some THC oil next to my bedside, and I was like, I'm not getting the quality sleep that I... that I've been hoping to get over the last little while. I'm going to take some of this weed oil to help myself go to sleep. And I don't partake in THC very often. I'm not a big fan, really. But I do find every once in a while, just a little bit of it, you know, like a half a dauber of like 10 milligrams. So like, you know, five milligram dosage of like some, you know, indica oil at night is a nice way to go to sleep. So I took my dauber and I put it in there and I was trying to pull it out into the syringe, but there wasn't enough oil in the bottle to actually, for the tip of the syringe to suck it up. So I was thinking, oh, well then there can't be that much in there. And I looked in the bottle and I kind of was like eyeing it up and thought to myself, yeah, that maybe looks like a full dauber's worth. That will be fine. And so I poured all the oil that was left in the bottle into my mouth. And I immediately had this feeling of, that feels like a lot of oil in my mouth. Like a lot more than I'm used to. And I should, in that moment, have listened to that gut feeling and spit a little bit out. But instead I went, what can go wrong? And so I swallowed it. Well, needless to say, I didn't get much sleep. I was high as a kite. I kind of forgot where I was. It was not a pleasant experience. And then when I finally did get to sleep and then woke up, realized that I was still fully, fully high and came into this recording and didn't want to say anything to anyone because I was fucking, you know, paranoid as shit. And I think I tried to keep my mouth shut as much as I could, which obviously, for those of you who know me, is kind of hard to do. Anyway, I told Bridie later, and she said she didn't notice, and thought I was fine. But I don't remember a single thing from this conversation. So when you sit down to listen to this right now, I'm actually going to be listening along with you, and I look forward. I look forward just as much as you do to learning all about the importance of access to contraception from our guest, Devin Black. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I could have in the moment. I'm sure I don't know. I think I was enjoying it. I'm about to find out, I guess. And if I'm coming off as really dumb and really weird in this conversation, now you know why. Okay, folks, I love all of you and can't wait to be back with you next week with Bridie for another little foreplay session. We've had some really, really wonderful brain boners come in. If you have questions or comments that you want to hear read on the show, send us an email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. We try to get to every single one of them, and we love hearing from you. And big shout out to our lovely patrons. We love you. And hope you enjoy this episode. We'll see you on the other side. Well, I actually don't know. I don't know what it is we're diving into today. I don't know much of anything ever, really. But I do know when I looked at our calendar, it was like, because Brady, you know, you're slotting the stuff into my calendar, so I know where to show up, when to show up. And it just said TMO recording, Devin Black, contraception in brackets. So I'm guessing we're going to be talking about. Are we going to be talking about preventing it? Contraception is like, that's another word for like prophylactic, right? Or like, or am I totally off on that? Contraception is like not getting pregnant. Hold on. Jesus Christ, Jeremy.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I'll just while you're Googling it,
like, what's contraception?
While you're Googling what contraception is, it's interesting because, We find guests for the show in various different ways. Sometimes people write in, sometimes we reach out. And with you, Devin, I got an email, you know, a handful of weeks ago about a campaign in British Columbia, which is in Canada, as we have listeners from all over the place, about access to contraception. And so, you know, when I reached back out in response to that, it's because I think one of the most intriguing things that I've come to realize through the experience of doing this podcast is this phrase called barriers to access, which I just never even like existed in my psyche before. And now, when I think about barriers to access in terms of sexual education, and information just in general, and the overall role in that knowledge and education plays in for the greater good of the whole world with mm-hmm. regards, especially to our sexual health and so on. It's just something I just feel like I barely scratched the surface of. And that's why I know that a lot of the listeners who tune into us are probably, you know, of mixed familiarity with that. So that's how we ended up here. And now, Jeremy, did you find out what contraception is?
Yeah, it's birth control. Duh.
All right. So maybe, Devin, we could start by you telling us a little bit about your involvement with this, that the campaign that was the original reason that we got connected in the first place.
Sure. So I am one of the co-founders of the Access BC campaign, which is a campaign that's advocating for the BC government to provide free and universal coverage for prescription contraception. Basically, we want the government to pay for all forms of prescription contraception so that people don't have to pay out of pocket for that, which is pretty basic, but unfortunately is still a thing that our government is not doing, even though there's plenty of countries all over the world that have implemented programs like this. And it turns out that they're great policy. They have good health outcomes and they save a ton of money. So
what are some other countries that are doing it outside of, like, so Canada's not?
No, Canada unfortunately is not one of them. Although Ontario does provide partial coverage of some prescription contraception up until the age of 25. But some of the countries that are doing this are the UK, France, Spain, Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands, and I think Italy and Germany. So those are all countries that are subsidizing contraception, either in full or in part, already.
Mm. And when you say prescription contraception, it's like, is there something else besides the pill that we don't, that we're not thinking of?
Yeah, there's a ton, actually. So the pill is like the basic thing that everybody kind of thinks about. But there's a bunch of different types of birth control pills. So usually what ends up getting covered by, like, Fair Pharmacare is the program that we've got in BC that helps low-income people access contraception. But that only covers some types of the pill. It doesn't cover newer low-dose forms of the pill. Some programs cover some IUDs, which are a great form of long-acting reversible contraception, but usually it'll only cover hormonal IUDs. I personally have to use a copper IUD because I don't tolerate hormones very well, and that wouldn't be covered under any of the plans in Canada that we've been able to find that can help people with accessing contraception. And then there's stuff like the EverPatch, which is great for people who can't take a pill every day, or the NuvaRing that also has a really low dose of hormones. And because those are newer or less traditional forms of contraception, those are also often not covered by provincial plans.
How old are these, I guess, so if some older ones are covered, but the newer ones are not, is that just a matter of, like, policy not being able to keep up with the evolution of medicine?
Yeah, probably. I couldn't say what's behind every single decision, but certainly that's likely part of it. And unfortunately, when it comes to reproductive health care, a lot of times government drags because people don't like to talk about sex.
Isn't that such a bizarre thing? Like, I know I live in a fucking echo chamber, but, like, it just boggles my mind sometimes to think that we're, you know, we literally just had a conversation about how, like, OnlyFans is like a household name. You know, there's sex is everywhere we look, yet we can't properly wrap our heads around it. Like, I can't wrap my head around that.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, like the abstinence only sex education is really closely linked with that, you know, like we can't celebrate it because we don't want people having it. We want people to only have it to procreate. And since we only want people to have sex to procreate, there's really no reason why we should help people pay for contraception because if they just don't do it, that's contraception enough. Ta-da!
Yeah.
All done here. Moving on. But is that accurate, or is that just like, I'm not super educated on this particular issue either, but that would be, you know, that would be the thing that I would stand on my soapbox and say without knowing really the people who are closest to the matter are actually agree with that, or, oh, hey, Bridie, things are way more nuanced than that. And, but, you know,
well,
my argument is still effective.
I think there's a lot of reasons that it's not a policy that's been dealt with as well as we'd like it to be. One of them is definitely just as much as that, right? Like, people have a lot of cultural hangups around sex and reproductive health. They don't like to talk about it. They feel like it's something that shouldn't be discussed in polite company. But there's also a gender component to it that's really significant. Mm. So a lot of when we're talking about prescription contraception, that's almost exclusively contraception for people with uteruses, because there hasn't been as much time or investment put into contraception options for people with penises for whatever reason. And so the result is that when you look at contraception options for people with penises, you've got condoms and you've got vasectomies. Condoms are available at pretty much every health clinic for free. So, yeah. You know, if you need a condom, you're good. And then vasectomies are covered by provincial health plans because they're a medical procedure. So if you want a vasectomy, you can go and you can expect that in BC, the medical services plan will pay for that for you. Whereas for people with uteruses, for the most part, it's these prescription options, which are not covered by government programs, which are not paid for. And so if you don't have your own health insurance, like, maybe you get that through work and that's great. Maybe you get that through school. Maybe you get it through your parents. But if you're not lucky enough to have that, then you're just paying for it out of pocket. And so you've got people with uteruses in this terrible catch-22, where either you're putting out, you know, potentially hundreds of dollars or more than that over the course of a lifetime in order to prevent pregnancy, or you're probably going to be carrying the costs of dealing with an unplanned pregnancy if you can't access that contraception.
Yeah, wow. That's just unbelievable. I was just thinking about how some of the campaigns I've seen with regards to, like, menstrual products as well are like, let's provide these things for free as well. And let's talk about having menstrual leave for people at work and so on. So how closely are all of these things connected in your line of work? Like, when can you go in and talk to people about the importance of having contraception covered by the country, by the government, are all of these components a part of the same conversation, or can you stay pretty clearly in your lane of access to contraception without getting into the greater problems with access to, I don't know, things that people with vaginas and uteruses have that other people don't have to deal with?
I mean, we usually stay pretty focused just because, again, when people are already uncomfortable talking about sex, bringing in, you know, a lot of new information into the discussion can throw people for a little bit of a loop. But there's definitely a connection, especially in terms of the gender equality part of things. Like, and people really seem to get that. For instance, we actually just were appearing at a municipal council meeting in Squamish, which is a rural municipality in BC, and asking for them to pass a motion in support of our campaign, which they did do, which was great. But then on their own initiative, another city council member passed a motion asking for them to look at what the budget cost would be to cover menstrual products in municipal buildings. So I think there's a you know, among people who are looking at these issues seriously and trying to do something about them, I think there's a lot of understanding that they're pretty interrelated and that the barriers to access, especially when it comes to cost, are like pretty obviously gendered.
Can we talk about other barriers to access other than cost? Are there some that we need to think about and consider?
Yeah, there's a ton. So one of the things that's like particularly relevant right now in our unprecedented COVID times is being able to just get out and access a doctor or a pharmacy in order to get a prescription. So we've got some medical volunteers who are helping us with our campaign. And I say medical volunteers, like they work in medicine and then they volunteer with us. They're not doing medical volunteering with us. But they have told us that in their practice, they've seen, like just anecdotally through conversations with patients, that people are having a harder time getting access to birth control because it's harder to get in to see a doctor and it's harder to get into a pharmacy in order to get prescriptions filled. Luckily, you know, as things are starting to open up in some places, that's becoming less of a challenge. But, you know, there are still a lot of people who, for instance, live in rural areas where taking a trip to see a doctor and then get a prescription filled is like pretty arduous. There's also people who are living in like family circumstances that are unsafe. So if they're younger and they have parents who are really opposed to contraception access, then that can be an issue, especially if they're getting their prescriptions covered under their parents' health insurance plan. Like if they can't afford it out of pocket and they can't safely get it under their parents' insurance, then they're in a real tough spot. And one of the things that people often don't think about is what's called reproductive coercion. And this is a type of relationship violence. So if you're dealing with violence or abuse in an intimate partner situation, a lot of times that comes with reproductive coercion where, you know, the abusive partner might try to control their partner's access to contraception as like one of the many ways that they're trying to exert control in the relationship. So, you know, for people who, you know, maybe are trying to get access under whatever plan that they can, even if like, even in those circumstances, if you've got help through a provincial plan, like you better hope that the IUD you need is covered or, you know, a hormone injection or another form of, you know, pretty easy to hide contraception. Because if you're taking a pill every day and your partner knows where those are, like that can be a real problem for people who are dealing with reproductive coercion.
Are we like as a country, like are we, you know, over the last like 10 years, like are we on the right track? Are we on the right path? Like is change happening, but just happening really slowly? You know, because there are these other countries that like seem to have it sort of figured out to some degree. Like, does it look like Canada's going or at least aiming towards that path? Or are we still just like completely missing the mark?
Well, there's been some positive kind of indicators, I guess. So Ontario's change, where they are now covering most, I'm going to say most forms of prescription contraception for people under age 25, is a pretty big deal. Like, that's great. And that's a relatively recent development that came into effect a few years ago. And that's great news. And we would love to see other provinces follow that lead and maybe even do something more expansive. But unfortunately, a lot of times contraception and reproductive health kind of gets subsumed into larger conversations about, you know, like pharmacare for everyone, which Access BC is totally supportive of. But in the interim, this is one of those types of healthcare that most people are going to need to rely on at some point in their lives. Whether, you know, you need it yourself or your partner needs you to have it because, you know, you're trying to do this as a team. And so it's, you know, something that's got a real impact for a lot of people and also has this incredible gendered component that is not true of most other forms of healthcare, that makes it a really significant equality issue.
Yeah, no doubt. It's so funny that I never even really thought about the the IUD as like when I asked you about prescription contraception, because I've had one, and I guess I never even really, I was in school and I think I did have health insurance through my school when I got that. I the whole thing's really a blur. I think I blocked it out, honestly. But holy smokes, that's kind of a big eye opener for me. Did you get into this line of work? It's not recent for you. I remember when we were chatting a couple of days ago, Devin, you said something about having been involved in, I want to say, sex education or sexuality in general. It has been your sort of your home base on in your career and your study for a while.
Yeah. So my first like real office job was working with the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada in their International Women's Health Program. So I worked with them. I started with them as like a co-op term in my undergrad and then stayed on part-time for a few months after that. And I had kind of been interested in sexual and reproductive health before then. And working there was like a real eye-opener for me in terms of really understanding barriers to access and the types of like huge impacts that that has on people's lives, on their ability to really live the kind of life that they want to live. Like if you, you know, have to face the consequences of an unplanned pregnancy and you don't have family support or you don't have the support of a partner and you're living in already, you know, kind of precarious conditions, it's really easy for that to be, you know, a thing that really adds like a huge significant challenge for you. If you can't time it in the way that you want. So that was a really big issue for me. And that kind of continued to be an interest. And then like 3 or 4 years ago, my buddy Teal, who's my other co-founder on this campaign, had just come back from the UK with his partner. And in the UK, that's one of the countries that does have quite highly subsidized access to contraception. So when they got back to Canada and they were looking at trying to get contraception coverage, they realized that it's enormously expensive if you don't have health insurance in Canada. Like an IUD can cost up to $380 out of pocket, which, you know, for some of us isn't impossible to cover, but for a lot of people, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even birth control pills are like $20 a month. And if you're really struggling to make ends meet, like that might seem like the thing that you have to cut if it's a question of, you know, being able to buy groceries. So we kind of sat down and talked about it and wondered if there was something that we could do. And we were like, you know, we're like pretty loud people. We like to talk. Let's start trying to like organize some people to kind of yell at our MLAs about this. And that's kind of where it started. So we've been doing letter writing campaigns and we've been, you know, meeting with politicians in order to try to convince them of this sort of stuff. We've made presentations to budget committee in BC. And like, I'm crossing my fingers. I think we're making inroads. But politics is such a precarious business that it's kind of hard to know, whether you're getting real traction.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering earlier, like it, when I was asking about like which countries are doing it better and like, does it look like we're going the right path? One of the things that kind of popped up in my mind was like, how much of this is a political issue, you know, like, is a lot of the hurdles we face based on the politicalization of contraception and like, you know, like people having control over their own body. Like how much does politics play a role in this? Like, is there a party out there that's like, we're over here, like, we will do it.
Contraception party.
We're the contraception folks.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because the BC NDP in their last policy convention did actually pass a motion saying that they wanted to include prescription contraception coverage as part of their platform.
Right.
Which is something that we were advocating for at that convention. And so we were really excited about that, especially since the NDP is now in government in British Columbia, and they've been in government for a few years. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, that hasn't made it to the legislating table yet. So we've been kind of trying to remind the current BC government that this is in fact part of their policy platform. It's a commitment that their membership asked for. But it's always challenging to try to make inroads in legislating because there's always so many priorities, right? And it's hard for me to say that, you know, there aren't other things that are important, right? Like I know one of the concerns for government right now is finding ways to cover costs given the incredible increase in healthcare expenses this year, right? And we're looking, we're asking for them to put like a not insignificant amount of money into covering contraception coverage as part of their healthcare budget. But one of the things that a lot of the research shows, and that's been borne out in a lot of these jurisdictions that have implemented contraception coverage, is that it saves a ton of money. So Options for Sexual Health, which is an organization in BC, did a study about 10 years ago now, kind of looking at what the cost would be to implement a program like this in British Columbia. And they determined that, I mean, the cost is not insignificant, like it'd definitely be a few million dollars, but it would save $95 million just in direct health cost expenses. And that's about twice as much as the program would cost to implement. So just in terms of direct medical expenses, this would be a good cost saving mechanism for your budget. But even outside that, they looked at kind of like broader social expenditures, and they found that for every dollar that was spent on contraception coverage, that saves about $90 in other social spending. So there's like a huge impact on budgets that really starts with preventative healthcare. Like if you're able to get people the access to care that they need right off the bat, then that saves a ton of money in terms of like direct medical costs, because contraception is a lot less expensive than abortion, or for that matter, you know, pregnancy. Like pregnancy is not an inexpensive medical procedure. You know, the social costs after that, right? Like if you're able to plan for a pregnancy that you want to have, then you're able to start putting in place like some financial planning and some community supports and the kinds of things that you need to like really make sure that you're going to get like a good head start as a parent and make sure that your child is going to have a good head start as a kid. If it happens by accident, then like it's a lot harder to do that because you just have less time to plan for it. So a lot of times government steps in, but those costs are higher. So if you just let people plan their own timelines, then a lot of this stuff becomes much less expensive and a lot easier for people to manage in their own lives.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that's the thing that blows my mind. It's like I feel like we're, you know, the way that our government works, the way our society works, is like money is everything. And if there's a way to save it, that's the way to go. But it's clearly it's like, I don't know, we can't get over this like hump of, I mean, it's not just this that makes me think about that, but it's also like like medications for rare diseases, you know, like things that medications that are very expensive. Yet once you implement that into the community that needs it, you're going to see unbelievably high amounts of money that's being saved just on the healthcare system itself. So it's, yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm just like sitting here going, why haven't we figured this out yet? People, come on.
Is it because we compartmentalize things? Because it seems to me like you've just mentioned so many areas of our society and our lives, and, you know, even the health of the planet in general, that could be connected to the issue that you campaign for by any 6 degrees of separation. Really, like, anything people want to talk about could be narrowed down to, or at least moved toward, to point at, you know, better resources for people and their reproductive health, education, like step, like one. The truth can be said for, same can be said for anything anybody really wants to argue for. You could 6 degree of separation to any cause, but, I had a question there I wanted to ask, and I just totally slipped my mind. Well, something that I've been reading about a little bit lately is fertility awareness method. So, like, checking cervical mucus and the position of the cervix and taking a temperature every day and charting this. And, like, you know, it seems like this information is here. It's not that complicated. You know, some self-discipline and, you know, enough money to buy a thermometer. But as opposed to that, what was it about this campaign that pulled you? Because it seems so specific to this big, broad topic. How do you feel called to this specifically?
I think the gender equality aspect of it is huge for me, in part because of, you know, the amount of time that I've spent working and volunteering and thinking about sexual health. As you talk to people and you start to hear their stories, like, it becomes really obvious the ways in which accessing contraception has just this enormous outsized impact on the choices that people are able to make, on their ability to plan their own lives, and even on the, you know, the ways that they have intimate relationships, right? Because if you're constantly worried about whether or not you're going to get pregnant every time you're looking to have sex with someone, like, that can really impact the way that people interact with their partners, interact with, you know, their ability to kind of express themselves sexually. And it really, you know, if you don't have that safety net that is good contraception access, then engaging in, you know, this type of human expression that should be a place of joy and connection ends up being a place of fear. And that's just so horrible. And you know, has such a negative impact on the way that people really, like, try to engage with the people in their lives. And it's so frustrating for me to see that when there's this easy solution, right? The easy solution is just make sure that people have access to contraception. And it has all of these amazing knock-on effects that, you know, there's been some incredible studies about how access to contraception has, like, massively increased women's access to job markets and women's access to education and right. women's access to, like, financial well-being, just because of this, like, one, like, little medication. One, I mean, there's more than one, but, you know, this one form of healthcare that unfortunately ends up getting punted off to the side so frequently. So it's a thing that I've been passionate about for a long time. And I feel really lucky, actually, that Teal kind of sat me down and was like, we should, like, come up with a solution for this, right? Like, this is a problem that could be fixed.
Right. And do you feel like it's it's more or less difficult to explain that to people without uteruses?
I will say that the pushback that we've gotten on this campaign has been more from people who don't have uteruses on the whole. I think people who have the capacity to become pregnant understand pretty intimately and in a pretty visceral way what having access to this kind of healthcare can do for them and their communities. But unfortunately, like the way that we talk about contraception, we often make it like a woman's problem. And so, you know, I think a lot of times that ends up teaching people without uteruses that they don't need to be as responsible. They don't need to think as much about contraception and how that impacts a relationship, which is a real bummer, because I think that really kind of impedes, you know, conversations that people hopefully are having with their partners about, you know, ways to manage contraception and how to plan for pregnancy. But yeah, it's a real problem in terms of how we teach people to engage with their own sexual health.
I was really moved by something that happened a couple of years ago, and or maybe it was less than that. And we were talking about abortion access, and there was like a call to folks with penises or without uteruses to basically join the movement by sharing their stories of how access to abortion enabled them to live, to get education, and them to have the careers that they wanted. And I thought that was really powerful. I don't know if anything ever came of that, but it seems like that definitely needs to be a part of the conversation if we want to enroll all people in understanding, like, well, everyone's responsibility when it comes to unwanted pregnancies and unplanned pregnancies and so on. So I don't know if there's anything in that example that can be used to help enroll those folks with considering the benefit, you know, that they've received without really having to think about it too much in most cases.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, one of the great things about working on this campaign has been seeing how many, you know, enthusiastic cis male volunteers we have. Like, you know, Teal is one of them, and he was one of the people who came up with this idea to begin with. And so I think that there are changes coming in terms of how people are thinking about this. And, you know, some of the strongest supporters that we had in the, you know, the Squamish Municipal Council meeting were male counselors. So it is really exciting to see the way that some of those attitudes are changing. And I think that it probably bodes well for better understandings of sexual and reproductive health as not just being women's health or health for people with uteruses, but, you know, something that everybody needs to be engaged with a little bit more broadly, because it's you know, sexual health is health. Mm-hmm. And if you're not engaging with that, then you're not really doing everything that you can to make sure that you're living your best life.
I have a question for you. This is totally opinion. What age do you think is appropriate for young people to get this kind of information about what contraception is available?
That's a good question. And that's been one that's been a hot topic in BC for the last little while, because, you know, a couple of years ago, the BC government did introduce a new sex ed curriculum. And I think the key is making sure that kids are receiving information that's accurate and that's age appropriate. Like, you know, a kindergartner isn't going to understand about contraception, and it's not really relevant for them. But, you know, introducing information about, you know, only touch people if they want to be touched, right? Like, that's something that that kindergartners can understand pretty easily. Like, if you can understand sharing, you can understand people saying no. And, you know, evolving that as kids grow older so that you've got information that's going to, you know, meet their needs at an age level that's appropriate is, I think, really key. You know, especially if you've got you know, unfortunately, right? Like there are kids who are more vulnerable and sometimes in dangerous situations, and making sure that they've got information so that they can, you know, go to an adult if they need it is so important. If they don't have the right words to explain what's happening, you know, it just makes it easier for bad intentioned people to get away with things. So I'm a huge fan of sex education starting early in an age appropriate way.
Mm. Yeah, me too. I sometimes just dream about like having some sort of, well, like Sesame Street, like television show, but that's a sex education for age appropriate.
I feel like Big Mouth kind of like was kind of doing that, but on a really like on a really not age appropriate level. You know, it's like you wouldn't want to show your 7-year-old Big Mouth, but maybe your 14-year-old, you'd be like, listen, there's some foul stuff in here. But I remember watching it being like, this would have been great. This is better than any sex education I ever had, you know, coming up.
Yeah, and I remember asking what a condom was when I was in grade 4 and just being told that I would find out when I was older.
You were going to burn in hell.
You know, yeah. Right? Yeah. And I wonder,
wash your mouth out with soap.
If there's something to that, to like, if a child asks, then give like this age appropriate answer, you know,
right.
A little handbook.
Devin, so, you know, you and Teal and your team of volunteers that you've put together to kind of, you know, really back this campaign. It sounds like you're doing work to make shit happen. And every time I hear someone who is in your shoes, who is really like behind a cause and has like these systems in place to try to cultivate that change, I always sometimes feel like, yeah, but what can I do? You know, like what someone who isn't attached to this campaign by, you know, in any way, like, is there anything that for our listeners out there, if there's someone listening to this going, fuck yeah, I never thought about this. And I want to put my foot down. I want to stand up. I want to see some change. What can those people do? What can we do to like help push this issue more forward and into the eyes of the people who, you know, need to see the change and can actually make those changes happen?
Totally. Well, for people living in British Columbia, they can volunteer with our campaign, which is great. One of the things that we have really been trying to do in how we've organized this campaign is we really want to give people the opportunity to kind of learn how to be activists and learn how to engage with government as an interested citizen. So if you visit our website, which is accessbc.org, then it's really easy to, you know, send a letter to your MLA. We've got pre-written form letters, like you can go ahead and send those on and make your voice heard. Or you can sign up with us to volunteer within British Columbia. So that might mean asking your city council to make a motion in support of what we're doing. It might mean writing letters to the editor of your local newspaper. It might mean, you know, trying to get in touch with your local MLA and have a conversation with them and ask them to make some moves on this. But for people outside of British Columbia, I would say get in touch, because I know Teal as well would love to talk to people who are interested in starting a campaign like this in their own jurisdictions. We've got a ton of resources that we can pass on and that we can you know, talk to people about if they're interested in getting something like this started in their own province or anywhere else. And really all you need is like a website and a couple of people who are willing to make a fuss. That's literally what we started with. Was we started with a website and Teal and I being mad, and we've now got, you know, this amazing team of volunteers who have managed to do just an incredible amount of work and really make this like a real topic of conversation in BC, in healthcare circles, which is so exciting to see. So if people are interested, like it's doable. Like Teal and I, we did this out of pocket, you know, with a website and a dream and a prayer. So
that's great. How long have you been working on this?
I think we got started in like late 2016, early 2017. So it's been a while. You know, if people are interested, I'm not going to pretend that it's not like a long haul project, but like it's on the topic of conversation now. Like we've had reporters asking questions unprompted of the BC Minister of Health about this at press conferences. We've had 2 years running now. We've made it into the BC budget recommendations. Last year it was, you know, the government should explore implementing prescription contraception coverage in a targeted and, you know, progressive manner, whatever the language was. And then this year it was just, there should be universal prescription contraception coverage in BC. Mm. So like, even in that way, you can kind of see progress happening over time. So there's definitely stuff that you can see as it happens, little landmarks where you see that you're making an impact, and it's pretty great.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah. As an activist, how do you take, how is your self-care? What's your self-care? What are your self-care rituals?
Well, I used to be working a job that was also very stressful. And, eventually I got pretty burnt out, mostly as a result of that job. And so I quit and I ran away to South America for 6 months, which is maybe not, it's maybe not feasible for everybody. But I quit my job and I went to do some work for, the Society Against Sexual Orientation Discrimination in Guyana, which was amazing. And then I came back when COVID hit and, you know, hung out with my parents in Calgary for a few months and kind of, as a result, over the course of a year, managed to like do a pretty good hard reset. But I think, you know, making sure that I'm surrounding myself with people who are also like excited and passionate and supportive is really key. Making sure that I'm taking time for myself in like, I feel like self-care can kind of sometimes get like weaponized in supportive capitalism, right? There's this idea that self-care is like bath bombs and scented candles and face masks and stuff you can buy. When a lot of times it's like making sure that your dishes are done so that your space is a pleasant place for you to be, or getting some exercise because you'll feel better afterwards. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're surrounded by a supportive community, because community care is sometimes more important than self-care. So sometimes it's nice to buy a face mask, but like, it's not the same as really like doing the work to make sure that I have the tools that I need to get my work done.
Right. Also, it's super easy to make face masks out of things you can find in your very own kitchen that you already bought at the grocery store. You got an extra egg? Just rub it all over your face.
Coffee grinds and honey.
Coffee just grinds.
Slap that on your face.
I don't know what peanut butter would do, but you could lick it off.
Eat it too. Yeah, it's great.
In the bath.
Devin, this has been really eye opening, really great. I'm glad we had the time to sit down and chat with you today and dive into the world of contraception and the importance of free prescription contraception, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see, you know, over the next couple of years, like some big, big change. And obviously, you know, thanks for the work that you're doing. And like I said earlier, if there is anybody out there listening who does want to, you know, hop on this bus and try to cultivate change in their community, check the show notes. We'll have links to the website I have a feeling that this little conversation is going to plant a few seeds out across our beautiful country. And so, fingers crossed that again, it goes to see some real change.
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Well, thank you again for coming in and chatting with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, there you have it. You know what? I think I did pretty all right, considering I have total amnesia and and was still so high that I didn't know how to
how to communicate properly in my brain. Somehow it came out all right, I think. I don't know. Maybe you noticed something that I didn't. Anyway, again, that was our conversation with Devin Black. Lovely conversation. Love when we get to talk about that important type of stuff. Well, what am I high now? Jesus Christ, Jeremy. Okay. Again, love you all so much. Brady and I will be back next week as we always are. And until then, we will, I don't know, what am I doing here? Follow us on Instagram and send us your butts. Send us emails, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. Patreon.com/turnmeon. If you want to watch our four plays recorded every week that we are together. Okay, stop burping into the mic, Jer. Doing a great job here. Wow, really fucked this one up. Okay, love you all. Enjoy the rest of your days, and we'll see you next week. Woo! That is it for this week. Until next week, go fuck yourself. Yeah, all right. There you go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.